Welcome to Punk Frockers, a community sewing podcast brought to you by Jenny Hassler and Beverly Baptiste. Hi, Jenny. How are you doing?
I am doing so well. I am taking a mental health day tomorrow. And that means that today was Mental Health Day Eve, and that's always a good day. How are you doing?
I'm doing really good, but I'm a little stressed from packing up and getting ready to go. And so I haven't done any sewing, but I have I've got most everything packed up. We've had, a few problems in getting the house ready, although I have to say this is as smooth as it could probably ever go. So I'm not even going to whine about the things that have gone wrong because people have it way worse than me as far as that goes. And none of the things that were problems for me were things that couldn't be solved with money. And so that's pretty good.
Yeah, that's awesome.
So what have you been sewing? Let's hear about some sewing.
I have continued my rebellious path of sewing patterns that are not meant for my body. And the thing I've really gotten out of it is that I am so tired of waiting for designers to see my body as valuable for designing. And it is so frustrating. And in many cases, these are classic patterns that people have been posting about for years, how amazing they are. And they still stop at a 50-inch hip.
Yeah.
Which is ridiculous, is such a small size to call your max. And so mostly I've been getting super duper frustrated by this. And yeah, just really, really frustrating. I've had a couple of dresses that have been really strong successes because they were not designed for my body, but they had enough ease in them to be worn by me and look good, even though it is not the intended ease.
So you posted one on Instagram either today or yesterday. I saw it today, where you're wearing a checkered fabric or something. What dress is it? It's a dress that's not made for your size. Did you go within the ease, or did you actually make that bigger?
So I've made two versions of that dress now. That is the assembly line box pleat dress. It has a max 51 and a half or 52 and a quarter inch hip. Mm-hmm. And of course, I'm 62. So that's pretty significantly different. The first one I made was in a blue and white striped linen. And I made that one exactly as the pattern called for. And it fit nicely. It looked good on me, I thought. I posted it a couple days ago as we speak. So around the 22nd or so of August. The second one, which is the plaid stripes, I don't really know what to call it. It's a canvas from IKEA that's probably intended to be furniture covering or something. But that particular one, I did make an adjustment on. I cut the back is on the center fold and you build a box pleat into it. And I cut that 1 inch in from the fold. So I added 2 inches to the width of the back.
Okay.
On the front, I did something similar. The front is seamed down the front and has a flat felled seam when you're done with it look, right? But it's seamed down the front. So I cut it. I've been cutting it on the fold and then just folding it in half and doing my seam there. It's nice and easy. I know that it matches up and or lines up. It doesn't match necessarily, but it lines up. So I've been doing that. On that version of it, I pivoted. So I put the neckline directly against the fold, and instead of going parallel, I brought the hem of the dress out by 2 inches. So I built in a wedge.
Okay.
That added a little bit of additional ease in the front, not even a full 4 inches. It's 2 inches at the hem, but at the waist, it's maybe 2 inches, 4 inches at the hem. It's at the waist. It maybe was a total of 2 inches, 1 inch on either side. At the waist point and hip point a little bit more than that probably. So that's how I made it wider while maintaining the sides being the same length, not having to worry about, because it has those mitered corners and the slit on the sides. And there's just a lot more to that to get it right. and I didn't feel like futzing with it. So I took a shortcut. So I added a little bit to it, but even without the added ease, I'd been satisfied. I just thought I'd try and get closer to the look the designer had intended, even though the designer didn't intend this to be worn on a body as big as mine.
So which do you prefer the fit of?
I think I prefer the fit of the second one, but I'm not sure if it's the fit or the fabric more so. I think it would need a heavier weight linen than I used to be a satisfying look for me. I needed less drape, more structure.
I see.
And so the canvassy upholstery-like fabric did a better job of having that structure that I want.
Yeah.
So it's a little hard to say because I wasn't satisfied with the fabric to begin with. So
right.
Whether I'd have been more satisfied or not, but the odds are good. I'll continue to add that additional bit of ease and make it out of heavier weight fabrics if I choose to make more in the future. And I do love that box pleat on the back. Some people recommended different dresses that I might try to build a box because it'd be easy to add the pleat in the back of any other dress that was sort of an A-line dress like this.
Yeah.
And so I've had some recommendations and I'm looking at getting those printed and trying them out where these are garments that are intended to fit my body. And I would just be adding the back pleat detail.
Yeah.
But it's been dissatisfying and a little frustrating. One sort of bright spot in that moment was that, as you know, but I haven't talked about really extensively on the podcast, I reached out to IG Design Group, who are the owners of the Big Four Pattern Company, in June. That was the result of doing a lot of test emails to possible email addresses for the names that I knew were officers or higher ups in the company. And I finally found some that didn't bounce. And about a week or so after I sent my first email saying fat sewists need your help, which was the title of my email, and I included so much homework for whoever wanted to open that and read it, I got an email back from someone very high up in the company who said, hey, I'm going to pass you off to this person who's more closely aligned with what you're asking about. And then I got an email from that person a couple weeks later saying, hey, I'm going to pass you off to this person who's going to be the one who's really going to make a thing happen. And then that person said, hi, I'm the person you've been passed off to, and never responded again, even though I continued to pen pal like provide updates. Apparently, some of those updates and comments that I sent, those were collected together and given to one of their new VPs, Mimi G. And Mimi G reached out to me and said, hey, I've got your stuff. I agree with you. I'd like to chat. And we had a really nice conversation that I am super excited about being able to share when I can share more about it. But it was a bright spot to have a moment where I felt more seen than I have in a long time by anybody or anything associated with Big Four Pattern Companies.
I know you can't say anything specific, but you can say that it was encouraging news.
Oh, it was definitely encouraging.
Okay.
I felt, like I say, more positive than I have felt in 30 years about Big Four Pattern Companies in any way. It was nice to feel at least a little encouraged. You know that as I've gone through the email, long period of silence, tiny response that was really just pushing me somewhere else, that it's been discouraging to realize that there's an obvious interest in saying that you're listening, but not maybe as much interest in actually listening. And I feel like Mimi G really wanted to have a conversation. So that was really wonderful.
That's great. Well, I can't wait to hear more about that when details become available.
I can't wait either. I'm so excited. So yeah, that'll be a lot of fun. So that's like a teaser for a future episode that we don't even know when it's going to happen.
Yeah. Both of us have been doing some interesting things with color.
Yours have been amazing. Tell us more.
Okay. So mine was actually the product of a class. I went to a kettle dye class. There's a yarn dyeing, an indie yarn dyer in Baltimore, and her company's name is Neighborhood Fiber Company. And it is a very desirable hand dyed yarn. And I've used a lot of her yarn before. The owner's name is Karita, and she is just an excellent company. We've done classes there before I have some knitting friends, and we've done classes with at her shop before. And this shop was done by her. I think it's a new dyer for her, somebody who used to teach at the art institute here. And now she's at Neighborhood Fiber Company. And we learned about acid dyes and we got to dye. They gave us 3 skeins of undyed wool and we got to choose between like chunky and DK weight and sock yarn, I think were the choices. And we could also buy a little extra if we wanted to. So acid dye, we learned there, I didn't know this, will only dye animal fibers, won't dye cotton. And so it was interesting too, because the things that they wrap the skeins in are cotton string. And when we dyed them, we had this bright dye and it was really just the same white color on the cotton string. So it really doesn't dye non-animal fibers, which is really cool. We learned how to do solid yarn dyeing and then variegated and then over dyeing. And it was so great. We had such a good time. I had such a good time with my friends and I had such a good time learning how to do this. As far as with my sewing, I doubt that I would buy yardage of undyed wool or silk to dye myself. Oh, silk I might at some point, but you know, you have to kind of use an animal fiber. I do think that 3 out of 4 of mine came out really good, and my friends all theirs came out really good too. So it's a good experience.
That sounds like a lot of fun. I purchased a pamphlet on doing ice dyeing. I know there's a ton of free resources out there, but I felt better after having seen someone who'd done a lot of fabric dyeing. I felt better buying their resource specifically on using Procyon fiber reactive dyes to do dyeing on plant fibers instead of proteins. And I purchased their guide and I've gotten started. So I started by soaking my fabrics in soda ash water for 20 or 25 minutes and then wringing them out, which is so hard on my poor hands, and then putting them on some screen, kind of piling them and then covering them with ice and sprinkling on the dyes, the powdered dyes. And now I'm at the stage where I'm waiting for the ice to melt to see what happens.
Oh, you've already done it.
Well, I've got them waiting on the driveway right now. That's what I did while I was waiting for our call.
Oh.
And with the writ dyes that I used previously, everything's so faded except for the weird parts where it's like, oh, that's really close to your lady bits. So I'm going to make that bright red and splotchy. with that exception, everything's super, super faded. So it's very exciting and terribly ugly for the most part, the writ dye stuff I did. I had fun with it, but it wasn't the effect I wanted.
Yeah.
And so I'm excited to find out if this is the effect that I want. I know it could be, but whether I have achieved it is a whole completely different question. And then this weekend, because I was feeling cocky, I've invited both of my grandkids over and told their parents, bring something cotton, 100% cotton, and I will do an ice dyeing session with them in the morning and they will get their garment later. Like they'll come over and we'll put on the masks and we'll try sprinkling the dye on the ice over their garment and whatever. But that's my plan for this weekend, is to let the grandkids try and experience this after we see how significantly faily my attempts are.
So I'm curious too, does the thing that you got, does it tell you how much of it to use?
Nope. So it's a lot more generic than that. One of the neat things it has in it, so when it says add the powdered dye, its instructions are thicker and heavier weighted fabrics take more dye and more ice to saturate. So you can put up with much more white space, but caking the dye onto the fabric doesn't need it will get you dark and muddy colors. So that's the instructions are, if it's thick fabric, you probably need more, but if you put on too much, it will be muddy. And so it's not necessarily the specificity that one might prefer, but it does come with these pictures that show it as not like caked on heavy duty, right?
Yeah.
Like there's space, but a lot of this person's fabrics, and this is really the thing I felt I got the most out of for this book, was that they included color formulas which aren't really formulas so much as they are the names of some Procyon dyes and images that show you what they look like if you put them together.
And I think that's really cool because the images of those dyes separate. So,
right. And so for me, the images, when I saw those, I was like, okay, I want to know what they're putting together because it's a $15 booklet. It felt to me like for $15, I can learn what they're putting together and that'll be nice. It does have a wonderful note that says, warning, do not get too attached. So oftentimes a dye company will reformulate certain dyes due to the availability of some ingredients. And so an example they offer is down here at the bottom. This is sea glass by itself. This is old sea glass formulation.
Oh.
And so if you like the less bright sea glass, which is what it used to be, and you now get more of a shamrock sea glass, it may be disturbing to you.
Yeah.
Right. But that's part of what happens when they reformulate. But having all of those images was really, really exciting. It did note that for the dyes that I'm using, that silk can be successfully dyed with these fiber reactive dyes in spite of being protein. It just comes out a little bit differently. Some okay. things are a little more muted. And so I'm really excited about the idea of doing this. And I'm excited to find out if it's crappy or not the way that I do it. So we'll see. I'm interested in learning more. I think it's an exciting set of possibilities, and maybe it'll slow me down because what I have already discovered is that it's been a month since I sold off 60 dresses and my closet is bursting again.
Oh my God.
So I have to slow down a little bit somehow, and maybe dyeing fabric is how I'll do that.
Yeah. I am sure that as you do this, you're taking very scrupulous notes so that you can.
Yeah. So I'm hoping that I remember to write down the names on the sample pieces that I did of what dyes were included at least. But no, it's more of a, oh, look, there's a spoonful. That doesn't seem to be enough. I'll try another spoonful and see if it looks better. I am taking pictures. So I'll have an image of, this is what the ice looked like when I was done sprinkling gunk on it. And then that's what the fabric came out like. So maybe I could pair those because that sounds like my speed, where I could put them together into an image and be like, left side ice, right side.
That's a good way of doing it. I probably would weigh it and mark it, but that's probably a good way for you to do it. The interesting thing about those dyes that I did at the kettle dyeing class, they're dyes that exhaust. So that means you keep it in there long enough and all of the dye goes into the fiber and the water is clear afterwards.
That's completely weird.
Yeah. Very weird. So that was cool.
This, I think my biggest concern with this is that it asks you to so I don't have hot water in my washing machine. We just don't have a hot water line in that room. And it is real specific about the idea of rinsing and washing in hot water. And I just don't have hot water. And so my intent right now is after I've rinsed it and before I wash it, to put it in a bucket that I fill with hot water and the detergent that they request and spend some time spinning it around in there before I wring it out and then throw it through the washing machine. Cause I just don't have hot water available to the machine that I use.
So you didn't think maybe doing a small sample of one that was just,
I love your thought process. That's really interesting. And I feel like that's gotta be the scientist in you or something. Cause
a pilot experiment with this. And
the whole time that I've read it, I've just thought, well, I mean, the fact is, even if it comes out differently than I would like it to, I'm not installing hot water in my washroom.
Oh no. What I meant was if it comes out the same with hot water and with cold water, you don't have to bother it.
Oh my God, you're brilliant. So I could still do that though, by just cutting out a swatch of it, right?
That hasn't gone in the hot water.
Right.
Yeah.
Because right now it's still got the ice melting on it. So I haven't had a chance to put it in the hot water.
Well, this is the after.
The before was, the before didn't specify a water temp. So I just went with tap.
I see. Okay. So yeah, you can do some just with cold and see what happens.
Yeah. Because I'm just not going to have hot water to do this. And my hope is it's not necessary.
Right.
That it's more about trying to get all the excess dye out than it is about whether it sets the color appropriate.
That might be the case.
Because I think the soda ash is supposed to be what sets the color, I think. The pre-soap is supposed to be what makes the color setting, I think.
We're about to find out, aren't we?
I mean, there's a lot of learning going on, I guess is what I'd say. Yeah. So yeah, it's been fun.
Well, that's cool. I did, although I haven't done any sewing, I did have a little fabric delivery. And when I say little fabric delivery, I mean really little fabric delivery. So I wanted to get some Ponte fabric to make some kind of stretchy, nice, medium nice pants that maybe go under a dress and maybe like a cigarette pants style, but something comfortable. And so in my mind, there's not all Ponte is the same. That's for sure. Ponte is made with a variety of different fabrics. I got several swatches sent to me from StyleMaker. And the reason I'm mentioning this is because I think it's a really nice swatch to choose from. So I think I got a whole bunch of them. The swatches are about at least 6 inch by 6 inch. And they've stapled a card to it that has the fabric name, the SKU number, the width, and the content of the fabric on each swatch, which is so helpful. And it's enough that I can really see the difference in the fibers. And I can kind of play with it and see if it pills really badly. Because that's one thing I found, that Ponte often really pills, especially when it has, I think it's when it has a higher poly content, it pills more. And so the one that I really like is this one, and I'm going to show Jenny, but you got, it's a herringbone.
Oh, I like the herringbone. Yeah.
And it's brushed.
So what is the fiber content on that?
It is poly, rayon, nylon, and spandex. Now I don't have the percentages here, but I could look that up.
Okay. No, I was just curious. Yeah.
It's all four of them. Now my other favorite one is just a rayon, nylon, and spandex one. And it is the color on it's really nice. It's a heathered gray. And that's one of the colors that I really like in Ponte. And I think it would be nice also, besides a pair of pants, for a pencil skirt, because my waist to hip ratio is high. Like my waist for my hip size, people usually have smaller waist, the average or whatever. And so oftentimes it's difficult for me to make tight fitting stuff because without a lot of adjustment in my waist. But I think with this knit fabric, I might be able to be more successful. So anyways, I got like several swatches. I think they charge $1.50 or something per swatch, and it shipped out to me right away. So I'm pretty pleased with that.
That's nice. That sounds really nice. I can recommend Pier Avenue pencil skirt. If you decide to make one out of a Ponte, that's one I found to be a really successful pattern. And it's available, it's Pier Avenue Patterns, and it's available for free if you subscribe to their newsletter, or for $5 if you don't.
And pier, like a fishing pier?
Like a fishing pier. Yeah. So that's one I'd recommend for a Ponte. That sounds really nice.
Yeah.
Good for you. I never order swatches. You're not surprised by this, but
I'm not.
No, I just sort of dive in. If I like it, I'm just going to order a ton of it.
Well, I usually dive in, but I'm probably not going to use a lot of different Pontes.
That's true.
So
it doesn't seem like your type of fabric. It's not quite hippie granola enough. for me, I just dive in and do. Did I tell you I have figured out what I'm giving everybody for Christmas? And I am so comfortable saying that on this podcast because I don't think any of my family listened to it.
Okay.
I am going to make those hand towels and washcloths out of that fabric I got from fabrics-store.com. I went and ordered some more in teal and in a aqua blue kind of a color. And I am going to make those. And then I am going to source homemade soaps from my local farmer's market.
That's wonderful. That's your granddaughters are going to love it.
I mean, they're an exception. I'm going to get that for the adults that I know, because I think it's like thoughtful. You could actually use it if you chose to. And it's an amazing regift if you decide not to.
Yeah. I think that they would not re-gift your handmade wash towels. So we have some new patterns to talk about.
I'm excited about the new pattern segment this month because I feel like I've either tried or am going to try almost all of these, and more so, I've even done some testing on them.
The
first one I'd like to talk about is one I mentioned previously but didn't give the name of, and it is Itch to Stitch's Celeste dress. This is a dress that's been expanded for sizing up to a 62-inch hip, and I made it, but of course omitted the zip. It's got a side zip, but the side zip's only needed if your chest and waist and shoulders require it to pull it on. It's not a fitted garment. It's not fitted, but it's not baggy, right? It's got decent ease. I was able to pull it over and didn't have any concerns about whether I'd be able to pull it over. So I omitted the zip. I've made it 3 times so far. And the thing that's so miraculous about it for me is it has pockets, and I love them because they are not side seam pockets and they are not patch pockets. They are pockets that's built by creating a second layer of fabric with a top binding on it on the side princess seam of this dress. And I really love them. I made the pockets a little deeper than requested because I wanted to make sure I could shove my phone in there and there'd be no risk at all and all this stuff. But I really love this dress. It is super cute, really quick and easy to make, very comfortable. I didn't see a single model that did the testing that it didn't look amazing on. And it was made in so many different fabrics by so many different people that I feel really comfortable really switching it up fabric wise for this one. So I loved it. I thought it was really nice. I think you would like this dress.
I think so too. So I'm just going to describe it a little bit.
Oh, that's a solid idea. Mm-hmm. I like it.
So it's a short in the picture that we have, the line drawing, it's a short sleeve dress. And like Jenny said, it has princess seams in the front and the back. But at the bottom of the front bodice for the inside of the princess seams, the skirt has some gathering there for a little detail that looks pretty nice. And so that part is kind of one piece, but the top of the bodice is two pieces.
It is. It is indeed two pieces. And in fact, when you make the garment, you make two sets of that two-piece front because the front is fully lined.
Oh, nice.
Enclosing all the seams. The front bodice is fully lined, enclosing the skirt seam and fully lined along those princess seams at the front. And it was very simple to make. I found it to be just an easy, I think I spent an hour and 20 minutes on each one. It was an easy, quick make that, like I say, very powerful. I think the lines on it are lovely. I made it with a simple linen, a sort of rayon-y drapey fabric that had a gargantuan floral print on it. And I made a third one, and now I'm blanking on what the third one looked like, but they were completely different styles of fabric for each one. I do want to make this one in a solid black linen because I think it'd make a great dress like that as well. And I love the pockets on it. I was so satisfied with these pockets.
It looks like it would be a fun one to do some kind of color blocking or pattern mixing with too.
Absolutely. I found some shot fabrics where they're woven in different warp and weft colors, right? That I thought would be really fun with this. So I bought 5 or 6 different colors of it with the thought that maybe I can figure out, and I might even plan it in advance or something, how to put them together to make it kind of fun. So
that's cool. The next one, I got this email and I just think this dress is so beautiful. And it is the Bell Woven Dress by Style Arc. And the picture, the line drawing is of a pretty long dress that has kind of a fitted midriff, but like, what would you call that?
So I think of it as like a corset style waistband on that, with a deep V-neck that goes almost down to the corset style waistband and has gathered under chest cups, right?
Yes. Yes.
So the gathering, you would presumably vary at least in part, or you might vary it in part based on the size of any chestal protrusions you have. the sleeves are really neat too, because they offered a couple of options of really big gathered sleeves, one with two gathers, one with a single gather at the end. What it reminded me of, Beverly, is the dresses I wore in middle school. It reminds me of that, not quite prairie style, but not
Jessica McClintock ones.
Yeah, absolutely. Jessica McClintock. Oh my gosh, I've forgotten the name. But yeah, absolutely. Those style of dresses. And I agree with you. I love it. And I even looked at it and thought, oh my gosh, I'd put the buttons on.
Yeah. Yeah.
Because it has to have the buttons. Yes. And if it's not going to have the buttons, it has to be those Western snaps, like on Western shirts that are made with the pearl snap.
Yeah.
Yep. The pearl snap buttons. Mm-hmm. And I could see that in a really neat, like plaid flannel, which is a garbage fabric, but I could imagine it for this dress.
Yeah.
So it, I was very excited by this one.
And it's the kind of thing I can see it, like it mostly looks fancy, but I could see it in a different fabric, maybe a little bit dressed down. And especially if you didn't do, you know, if you made the sleeves a little plainer, I think it
could. I think honest to goodness, a grunge flannel with those mother of pearl snaps, that would be dressed down. It would be exactly that. You stick it with some high knee-high black boots or brown boots with it. Now I want to put a cowboy hat on.
That might be something you'd make next month.
I mean, it's 100% that kind of a thing. I really love it. I really love it. And those paying attention will have noticed a hint. I think that is an amazing concept. So this one's one I would like to make, and I might even make with garbage flannel. And the nice thing is Joanne puts that garbage flannel on sale all the time, super cheap.
Yeah.
But yeah. I don't think I'd like go wild with it and be like pink dinosaurs. I think I really would stick with something grungy and flannel.
Like plaid flannel.
Yeah, plaid flannel for sure.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. I think this would be amazing. Well, there's another one coming up that actually the designer reached out to me and asked me to stitch up. So I'm going to do that this week. It's the Azania by Sophilio, which is, I believe, just a new pattern designer. Now, this one is up to a 62-inch hip, and the sample pieces that I've seen on their website and out and about are primarily up to about a size 18 for the test sews that I've seen or the modeled shots that I've seen. I know the designer has made several for different sized family members, things like that. For mine, it'll be going from a 28 to a size 36 from chest to hip. I've already cut the pattern out, and I'll be doing view A, which is the midi length with dramatic sleeves. What are those called? Lego lantern. Mutton, where it's
lantern.
Okay. With the big cuff on them. And it has a high neck that has a tie around it.
I actually don't think they are lantern sleeves, because those lantern sleeves kind of go like this more, like it's not gathered. And I think this is gathered into a cuff, right?
I think it is gathered into the cuff, but in any case, they are a dramatic sleeve.
It has
but they do not appear to have a lot, if any, gathering at the shoulder.
No.
It's exclusively, if you see the sleeve piece, it's got a very shallow cap, and then the sleeve comes down at a strong angle going out. So it's intended to be slimmer fitting at the shoulder and then gather into this cuff, which is a 4 or 6 inch cuff. I mean, it's a very dramatic cuff. And I've purchased it's a knit garment. I've purchased a navy knit that has different sizes of gold flecks all over it.
Ah.
Because I thought that would be a neat sort of fall look with maybe brown boots or something similar. So I'm going for a whole vibe.
I didn't realize it was a knit.
Yeah, it is a knit, and I'm very excited by that. Now, my recollection is that the designer mentioned that there would be a tutorial going up on doing this in a woven fabric.
Okay.
But I've purchased what I'd call a light mid, somewhere in between light and mid-weight knit. And I'm very excited about this one. I loved the look of it when I first saw it, but had not yet committed to it when the designer reached out to me. And then I'm like, yeah, I can totally commit to this because I liked it anyway. Which is my favorite type of make, one where I go into it as something that I'd wanted to do anyhow. So So yeah, I'm excited by that one.
Okay. And this next one I hadn't even heard of.
So do you want to describe it?
It looks like to me that it is a, is it a t-shirt or a sweatshirt?
It is a, it's sort of t-shirt weight. It's intended to be t-shirty.
Okay.
And you've got choices, right? You've got a V-neck or a shawl neck. I had never made a shawl neck before in my life before I tested this pattern.
Oh, and you've already tested it.
Yeah, I was part of the initial test crew on sizing for it. Yeah, this is the Esme from Jennifer Lauren Handmade. I love the shawl collar. Now, what I did learn in the process of testing it, because I've never made one, but I don't know that I've ever worn one. I like shawl collar was a new concept for me. And so when I made it out of a fine, like a very fine cotton micro ribbed material. And it didn't have the body that I think the shawl collar wanted to have. Okay. It looked good, but it was a different look. And so what I learned was, I think I learned, is that you would want a less drapey. I mean, like the fine rib that I used was liquid drapey, you know, wasn't right for that shawl collar. But I enjoyed the fit of the garment and it went together well. And I thought the instructions for the shawl collar, which relied on an amount of faith. It was one of those where it's like, I understand this may not seem like it's going to do what I said, but I swear it will. And then suddenly, poof, the shawl collar was attached appropriately. So there was a leap of faith in there, but I really enjoyed it. I thought the instructions were well written. I liked the idea of the leap of faith, and the shawl collar was an intriguing detail to me.
I've never tried any Jennifer Lauren Handmade patterns before, but it sounds like they have good instructions. That's good to hear.
I was really pleased with them. I tend to be intimidated. I'm a really strong sewist, but I tend to be intimidated by techniques I've never tried before. And so I'll read them like four times. And that's part of why I always actually follow the instructions on new things, because I don't know.
Yeah.
And this was one of those where it was outside of my knowledge base. But I really enjoyed it. Our final one, I think someone recommended to you recently.
That's true. I was looking for a set of sort of traditional button-down pajamas. There's a very popular pattern that has not been upgraded in size. And so what was recommended to me is the Spinifex PJs from Minute and Broad. And those go up to a 71-inch hip. And I've seen them on Jess, Fat Bob and Girl. And I think that Layla made some in silk. That or satin. I don't know if it was silk or satin, but it looked lovely.
Made me wish I wear pajamas. They're really, really wonderful. They have piping details and these are just gorgeous. I have considered just making the top and extending the length some because I could imagine I have this picture of myself, like when we go away for a weekend, being sultry, wandering through the hotel room in my extended length. Silky pajama top.
I have some used silk that I'm going to, it's sari silk. And I'm going to make some silk pajamas for myself out of them.
Well, so that'll be really neat. Are you going to do piping details or other sort of traditional details on any?
I really want to. I think the first thing I'm going to do is I'm going to make myself some pajamas in a nice simple cotton. So that I get, yeah. I've never done piping before. And I think silk isn't the where I should start trying. I think I should try it on, you know, something easier.
Yeah.
But I've never ever sewn with silk. So
yeah, get your piping foot. So start there for sure. That sounds amazing. I had company over last night to help with my fish tank. I love my fishies and my,
I didn't know you had younger, a fish tank.
I do. I used to have two, but I discovered two is more than I want to take care of. And my
remaining
tank, it's 60 gallons. So it's pretty big.
Yeah.
So I've got this fish tank, but I also know I haven't changed the water recently enough. And I'd like someone to give me guidance on what fish I can stock it with to get to the level that I want it to be and all this other stuff. And my younger daughter's boyfriend is like a fish, snake, what do you call those other things? Lizards, you know, amphibian, reptile, and fish guy.
Okay.
And so I said, hey, do you think he'd be interested in coming over and like maybe giving me some guidance and possibly setting up a maintenance arrangement? I'd pay him to come do the tank, you know, the water clear outs every month or two or whatever it is. And he agreed to it. He said that sounded great. He came over and offered some great advice the other day. And then he came again last night. And it had been a long day at work. We took everybody out to dinner because it was my older granddaughter's first day of sixth grade. And we, you know, we celebrated that because there's going to be nothing else to celebrate about sixth grade. And so that was sort of our thing. They came over afterwards and did the fish thing. And I mean, it's getting to be 8 o'clock and it just, it feels like I'm ready to wind down. They say goodbye, hugs, kisses, whatever, leave. And I'm like, awesome. Grab the hem of my dress, just pull it off. And I'm ready to go throw it in the laundry. And I'm just going to sit around in my underwear and bra and watch television because that's what I do or so. And I get it off and I'm headed towards the laundry room when I hear my daughter go, oh my God, you got naked so fast. And then she goes, no, don't come in here. I'm like, you've met me. How did you not know this was going to happen? So it was awesome and hysterical. And I'm guessing that you try and prevent that from happening. That's what I'm hearing, is that you're more considerate.
Well, we just don't let people in our house. So,
but that was my immediate thought, is I'm like, oh my God, my children wish I wore pajamas. Oh my God. Anyway.
We also, this happens to be the last episode for August.
It does.
There's a lot going on right now. So we have the end of PF Anarchy, which we're going to talk about in just a second. And then we also have the end of our 3-month challenge, which is hashtag PF Represent. So
and those don't end until August 31st. That's so right. You're going to hear this episode
on August
as 31st. They're ending. Yeah. As they're ending.
Yeah. So if you haven't finished, you might want to hurry up. If you're hearing this in the morning, you still have time to make 3 or 4 entries if you're Jenny. So,
yeah. Or somebody or other's mom.
Yes. Yes. We'll talk about that in a minute. But we will definitely publicize when we are going to do the giveaways on this through our Instagram. Jenny, what did you do for PF Anarchy this month?
So I've talked a lot about what I did for PF Anarchy this month, I think, because I basically, my anarchy, as I think about it, really all looks like following the rules. So that may be problematic, but essentially I made things that designers didn't want me to make by following their pattern exactly and their instructions exactly. And so while they weren't intended to fit me, I followed the instructions and I made the things.
But I would also argue that, so we have a bit of a rebellious podcast. And you broke our rules.
I did. And I broke my own Instagram rule of publicizing in any way designers who don't give a shit about my body.
Yeah.
But I also think what I found when I was doing it on Instagram is this feeling when I get DMs or comments from folks that were like, yeah, I've wondered about that one because I like it and it looked like it might fit me. And now I know it would.
Right.
And I'm like, that's awesome. And darn it, kind of combined. But yeah, so I definitely did that. I sewed pockets in 4 different garments, including not that front kind, one of my assembly line dresses I put the pockets in.
Wow.
I know. I finished my fabric edges before sewing my garments together. So I serged the edges and then I did the stitching, or sometimes I stitched and then I finished the edge. So like instructions often tell you to, for no good reason. I used interfacing 3 separate times on purpose.
Wow.
The kind recommended and everything. And yeah, I did things like that. So that felt very rebellious to me, even though I'm reasonably sure a lot of people would call that doing what you're supposed to.
The funny thing is I'm counting the fact that I didn't use interfacing as PF anarchy.
I know, but I'm not that person. So I had to come at it differently.
Yeah.
Because most of my sewing is just not doing what they tell me to do. And yeah. So it looked really different for me, but it was interesting and challenging. And I definitely learned a lot. I definitely grew through it. And I am horrified to report that I'm probably going to try and make pockets work on more garments. And I think I may finish my edges and then sew things together more often too.
Wow.
Anyway, super disappointed in myself, but I think there were some possible positive outcomes of my attempted rebellion.
Well, I think another way to think about it too is that one of the purposes of PF Anarchy was to open our minds to things that we wouldn't normally have. And so you learned a little bit about something that would make your sewing, the product of your sewing, more enjoyable to you.
It feels like I might have. We'll find out in a month, I guess, whether I'm still doing any of it. But it was definitely interesting. And I had a weird amount of contrary enjoyment through all of those different activities where I'm like, okay, I could really get into this, but it feels a little rules oriented. And so, yeah, my teenage self would be disappointed.
Mm. Well, I'm proud of you. I also mentioned what I did, and I did not really stretch myself. Of course, I started this whole move this month. And so that's kind of cut into my sewing time, but I did make up that one Seamwork Marlowe without any interfacing. And I sewed up the button band and didn't even make any buttonholes on it. So that counts. And then the other thing I did was that Chalk and Notch Farah, I did a real weird putting a band of fabric in the middle because the length didn't work for me. So I don't think mine was nearly as exciting as some of the entrants. And I think we were both stunned and amazed and thrilled at somebody or other's mom.
I will say that one of the challenges was how many rules can you break? Sure. And there is no doubt that the winner was somebody or other's mom.
Yes. She wins.
Now, there are people who still have time to exceed it.
That's true.
I find that unlikely.
That's true. And we may have to eat our words and say, but if
absolutely
that person does win, we'll put a little special episode together, won't we? Because that's... Yep.
But holy cannoli, somebody or other's mom knocked it out of the park month to date.
Yep, that's right. So how much did she end up with? How many?
Oh my God. I don't remember, but I'd swear it was in the 90s.
I thought it was like 100.
It might have been. I'm off opening it up now because it was just like, it felt like every morning for a week, I'd just wake up and there'd be this whole new travail that was so amazing. 96 is the highest number I see. That doesn't mean I'm right, but I see number 96. I did not double seam the crotch seam as you are supposed to for sturdiness.
Wow. 96. That's pretty good.
And this was posted over many different posts, starting with, the number ones and working their way up. Cannot recommend strongly enough that folks go and follow the hashtag, check out somebody or other mom posts and see the saga. In fact, they have saved to their stories a PF Anarchy hashtag that I am going to go ahead and guess walks you through the saga.
Oh, yeah, that's a good thing to go look at.
And I can promise you we will be having a live conversation with Lori at some point because, oh my God, how could we not?
Exactly.
we had a lot of people who got very adventuresome in their anarchy.
So yeah. The first one we wanted to discuss is Rocky Mountain Stitching, who made a really cool looking hoodie, which is their entry for PF Anarchy Challenge. Because they broke sewing rules. They eased a larger seam at sleeve rather than doing a full bicep adjustment, which I've never done before, but I heard is kind of tricky. They mixed 4 different types and weights of fabric, and the cuffs were not designed for ribbing, and they used those too. I think that it turned out lovely.
Yeah, they had a lot of fun with it. Now, this is one of Ellie and Mac's Wacky Wednesday patterns. That this is a pattern design company that does $1 patterns on Wednesdays. And in this particular case, it's an around the block hoodie, which is really designed to do some color blocking, which is a lot of fun. It's one of the things where if you're into color blocking, Ellie and Mac patterns can be really great for that. One of the other notes they made was that they had cut out one of the sleeve pieces wrong side out, because that was the best way to get the pattern piece to fit.
Wow.
And so there were other things there as well. And I thought that was awesome. It was a really great approach to it. I do not do a full bicep adjustment many times, even though I have really full biceps. I fit into the pattern size that's intended for my upper chest to bust difference there. But where I don't, I do exactly that. I cut out a larger sleeve and I ease it in.
That's great.
So I'm a fan of that method. I agree that, that a full bicep adjustment can be a little fiddly sometimes. And even when it isn't, it's a lot easier to cut out a bigger sleeve and ease it in.
Yeah. Especially with men, right?
Absolutely. Absolutely. And so I love our next entrant as well. Tall Hobbit Stitches has been a semi-regular contestant here, and I've appreciated the entries that they've made. In this case, what they've done is to make a Montrose top, which is a cashmere top, as I recall, but in addition have put together a really awesome skirt. And so when you look at that skirt and at that top, the rule-breaking challenge, they mention a bunch of sewing and fashion rules they broke, including pattern mixing, florals being out. You may recall a while ago, some listicle made the mistake of saying old folks shouldn't wear flowers in particular, and there was a great rebellion within the sewing and the fashion community immediately. This is just I don't even know how to describe how amazing this outfit is. I love the rainbowness of the skirt. I love the narrow strips of it. I love how the patterns don't match. I love all of it.
I don't know if you noticed this too, but they said that as we've said many times, you do not have to make something new, and they feel like making something new, but they still wanted to participate in the challenge. And I really appreciate that.
Yeah, absolutely. I think that's a super valid way to participate. And I'm excited when I see folks do it, because it's awesome to be able to get some use out of things you've made previously in a new challenge. And in addition, I know I'm taking a mental health day tomorrow. Sometimes folks just need a break from it. They aren't up for whatever reason, making a new thing. So I love it.
Now this next one, I love this. And actually the reason this is entered is because I saw it and said, this has to be entered into PF Anarchy. So this is Velosos, Maria Thea Harris, who has the podcast So Organized Style that we were on. And she made the coolest jacket out of a coffee or out of coffee bean bags. So not paper bags, but like the burlap-y. Yes.
Yeah.
Like lined it, so it's not all scratchy. But that jacket is amazing. And
it is.
I think that is so cool.
And one of the things I really love about it is when you look at it from the front on, a lot of effort really went into making sure that you maintained largely the lines of the bag and the text lined up going across, even though you lost a little bit of it, because of course there's a zip.
Yeah.
And you're going to lose a little bit of that, but it's really nicely done, very thoughtfully put together. And the fabric, of course, absolutely rises to the level of anarchy.
Yes, for sure.
One of my favorites is So Very Sierra. And part of why I love what So Very Sierra made, which is an amazing little tank top with darts. And it is made out of a checkerboard fabric that has characters from Snow White and the Seven Dwarves on it.
Yes.
But what I love about it is this is exactly how I would cut something like this out and sew it up, where there has not been a huge amount of effort to make sure that everything matches. There, it just wasn't done. There's no pressing on this, which is, of course, one of my favorite things. There's cutting out the darts straight rather than marking them. And I think all of those things are absolutely amazing. Now, this is a Stitch Witch Patterns Basque blouse, which comes up to a 61-inch hip. And it is absolutely phenomenal. And it looks so good. In yes. spite of some of those things like the lack of pattern matching, which really in no way detracts from the gorgeousness that is this garment.
I think so too. That turned out great.
Yeah, I love that one.
Margie Makes, who has been a frequent participant and winner of did a really cute. So what we would call this is Where's Waldo, but they in England say Where's Wally. So I don't know if she's in England or she's Australia.
If you haven't gone and look at their feed, go look at them in their Where's Wenda costume.
Yes. It's a white and red striped.
Oh, and it's Australia. It's Adelaide Soas.
Okay. Okay.
My God, we're such great detectives.
So I like that their anarchy is with fashion rules broken. They've split that up into they don't wear white and that they horizontal stripes are not flattering. And so those are the fashion rules they broke, but they also broke construction rules. They did one of your favorites. They sewed without pins, which mm-hmm. they need a hashtag for or use the hashtag for. And they cut the bands on the cross grain, which I love for striped shirts. I love that look. And they eyeballed the hems instead of measuring and pinning, and they estimated the neck and wristband lengths.
Those are all really great methods. I love them and use them myself. We've talked a lot about somebody or other's mom already. Yes. I don't know if we want to go through the full list. I suspect we do not. But suffice to say that anyone attempting to beat somebody or other's mom has got some distance to go.
Yes.
Because it was amazing.
Yep. So the next one is from Sew Asylum, which I love that name. And they
made an Edwardian skirt out of it.
Yes.
And, yeah. And for anarchy, use their serger rather than hand felling the seams.
That's a great way of getting something done. That sounds like stuff that's going to be on the inside and people aren't going to be able to see. So
yeah, for the most part, if you're entering costume contests, which is something my younger daughter does, sometimes they do want to see the inside, and depending on the kind of contest, it can matter. But for most things, it doesn't make a lick of difference.
That's right.
I love it. It's sped it up a bit and it looks amazing. I do love that fabric.
We also wanted to talk about Sarah Fornia. Another frequent entrant into our contest.
So for PF Anarchy, they followed my rule of following the rules to break the rules. So they used some pins, which is something they don't normally do. So right yes. there, breaking the rules by following the rules.
But they did break some rules. They guessed at the length when cutting the tiers. And when gathering the bottom tier, they just eyeballed it and did it by hand.
That's an awesome thing to do. They didn't match their serger thread. This is something I almost never do as well.
Do you match it kind of? Like, do you like?
You know, I used to, but now all I do, if I'm going to match at all, is I match the thread that would be closest to the seam. So that one,
what
the
about
left
if needle. You have like lightweight fabric and it's a light color?
I might do something different there, but I also might not serge it. I might French seam it. So.
Well, look at you.
I mean, that's cheating, but it is a better look in a sheer. And I've got a sheer that I ordered from Latoff, actually, there's a very good chance I'll end up French seaming rather than serging, because you're going to be able to see it. So
well, there were several things on this list, but the last thing she put on there I like, which is she said she put a bow on her butt.
And I think that there is no fashion rule better than put a bow on your butt. I think the rule maybe don't put a bow on your butt, but I disagree. I think a butt bow is probably necessary for most garments.
Yeah.
Now, Augie outside also followed Tall Hobbit Stitch's plan of presenting something from the past as their anarchy. But in this case, oh my gosh, last September, they broke the rule that you should only sew on a stable surface by taking a sewing machine down to the local fairground, strapping it to a board on a cherry picker, and using it to repair a drive-in movie screen 30 feet up in the air.
I gotta say, that's a pretty good PF Anarchy.
If you are going to break only one rule for PF Anarchy, this is an awesome rule to have broken. I love it. Definitely one of my favorites. Now, this is another one after my own heart. Creations by Paula Moo has broken their own internal rule of not making a wearable muslin by making a wearable muslin. And I love it. I think that is amazing. And yeah, pretty excited by that. So this is a garment that was slated to become a Trillium by Made by Ray, which is a favorite sewist, a favorite pattern of mine as well.
So the one thing here is that Creations by Paula Moo doesn't do exactly like you in that.
They
usually make a true muslin out of muslin. And
I mean, I have
made a wearable one.
I appreciate that you're pointing out the ways in which she is definitely superior to me, but I have chosen to read it instead as they have come to my side of team are now doing it this way.
Okay.
But that was pretty exciting.
Yes.
So Jamila Singer, hoping we pronounced that right, but you never know, decided to piece the pant leg for a garment when it wasn't the right size. And that is their piece of anarchy for this month, which I love. They've also not shared the name of this pattern in the posting that was tagged for us as they haven't tagged the name of the pattern. They made the pocket bag also bigger on these. So that's another step outside of the instructions, right?
Right.
Then we've got 48 different entries from somebody or other's mom counting down all of their amazing breaking of rules, which I cannot help but love, before we suddenly get to She Seems Fun.
She Seems Fun made one of your favorite patterns, the parasol dress from Chris Wood Sews. And she didn't mention what makes it PF Anarchy, but I wonder if it's the floral issue, because it's a very floral dress, and
it definitely breaks some rules about florals. I also would wager that they didn't measure to accommodate their 6 foot height by lengthening that skirt. My guess is they lengthen the way that I do, which is by going, yeah, it seems right.
Yes.
But I like it and I appreciate it. I think it's a really lovely, lovely fabric.
Kurkuma London made a Helen's Closet Luna Tank, which is a free pattern. And she cut it against the fabric grain, which is something they normally would avoid doing.
And that's a really great idea. There are a lot of garments that become more accessible to you, especially in bigger sizes. And I know in this case, Kurkuma London has not made a larger size of this garment. But when you're larger size, being able to cut contrary to the grain expectation can expand your ability to make patterns. So
yes.
That's awesome. So Elizabeth Wicks used quite a bit of time listening to old Punk Frockers episodes to iron and sort all of their dead stock and thrifted fabric with an eye to how to break some rules by pattern mixing in a later project, which is an awesome thing. And this pile of fabrics is just glorious.
Yes, I want to mix some of those up. There's this one in there that has like feathers on it. It looks really cool. I want to get my hands on that too.
Yeah, that is a lovely fabric. And I love some of the plaids and ginghams you can see in the upper right of that photo as well.
Now, this next one, Rona Bird Sews, made another of the Chris Wood parasol dress. And the reason that theirs is for PF Anarchy is because they made it with heavy black linen with matching thread, which they were able to do even though they have some struggles with their eyesight. And also they use an exposed label.
And I love an exposed label. And in this case, it's an exposed Punk Frockers label.
It's so great. That gets an extra point.
Absolutely. I love that one very much.
And I like this hashtag here, by the way, Crone Core, like
yes.
Cottage Core, but this is Crone Core because of dark
cottage core for crones.
Yep. Yes, I like it.
Love it.
Okay.
So next up is So Much Fashion.
Yes.
What do you think about those shorts? I think maybe you're not a tie in the front shorts person, but I think they're super cute.
Those shorts are so cute. Bright, bright, bright red.
But the rule breaking here is that this is a personal fashion rule for them.
Yes, because she's a busty person and short-waisted. She usually wears the tops over the bottoms and not tucked in to elongate the torso. Now, I got to say, that's why I don't like tie front pants, because I do the same thing. I like the top to go over it. I don't tuck them in. So maybe I'll have to break that rule sometime too.
I think it looks really cute on her. This was a good look. So
I think so too.
It's a good call to break the rule.
Yep. Oh, there's one more, which is the Bricolage DK.
Thank you.
Yeah. Bricolage K, maybe. I don't know. And they broke the rules by using something very different for pattern weights, which is their coffee. Their what do you call
it? It's not French press. What's that one called?
It's like an espresso maker.
Is it a Turkish? Anyway, I don't know. It's one of those cute little silver pots that my kids use, but I'm not a coffee person, so I'm a little less familiar. I swear that looks like an avocado. I'm sure it's not. but is also that, some barware.
It is an avocado.
But also some barware as a pattern weight. So there's some really awesome pattern weights being used here, and I love it. Is that a Nanny Eero fabric? Because that's what that looks like to me.
Ooh, that does look like Nanny Eero.
Anyway, completely amazing. I love everything, every scrumptious bit of this photograph here, for sure.
Well, we had a lot of people enter into PF Anarchy. Thank you all very much for entering. And I think that a lot of people, just by looking at following that hashtag, you can see some rules that maybe don't always have to be followed.
Absolutely. And again, I cannot encourage you enough to go and follow the entire saga of somebody or other's mom's anarchy breaking rules. It was definitely a lot of fun, and we very much appreciate that. But thanks to everyone who participated with old makes, new makes, plans for future makes, or any other type of rule breaking makes. There is nothing that warms our hearts more than seeing yet another tag on social media talking about what you did inspired by us or by others for the month's challenge.
Yes. And please, everyone, go over to the show notes and immediately listen to the clue for next month. I'm very excited about next month. I think Jenny is too. And I want to hear what you guys think the clue
means. Absolutely. It's going to be amazing, or at least we're going to have a lot of fun with it. We hope you will as well. And definitely some of the new patterns that we described this month could be used for next month's challenge. Probably any of them with the right twist. So,
that's right.
So yeah, that sounds amazing.
It was great talking to you.
Definitely. And by the time we speak again, you'll be moved in.
I'll be moved into a new house.
Oh my God, that's so exciting.
Yes.
Awesome.
All right, Jenny, I guess I'll
see you next Tuesday. The Punk Frockers is created, produced, and edited by Beverly Baptiste and Jenny Hassler. On Instagram, you can find the podcast at Punk Frockers. You can find Jenny at J.O. Hassler and Beverly at Weeds to Wildflowers. Our artwork and music is created and performed by Jim Durand. You can find him on Instagram and his website at jimdurand.art.